in our service for God, our mind is very important. Paul gives a lot of emphasis to the mind in his writings. For holy living, the mind is a key. He talks about setting the mind on the Spirit, setting the mind on things above in Colossians 3 and verse 2. And for finding the will of God, the mind is important. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. For serving the Lord, for knowing His will, for pleasing Him, the mind is important. Even Jesus, our Lord, quoting that commandment, said that we should love the Lord our God with all our mind. How different this is from the religions that are around us today. You might have heard of this man who was very popular in the West as a Hindu guru, Rajneesh. He called himself Bhagwan Rajneesh. Now he died, he is no more. And when he used to have his lectures in Pune, in India, outside his lecture hall, he had these words written. Thousands flocked to hear his talks and they bought his cassettes. And he had many disciples from Australia, North America, Germany, and from other parts of Europe. And these were the words written outside that lecture hall. Leave your minds and your chappals here, your footwear. Now Jesus would never say that. To follow Rajneesh, you don't need your mind. It's very dangerous to leave the mind out of any experience, even in Christianity. Paul said, I'll sing in the Spirit and with my mind. With the Spirit and with my mind. I'll praise God with my spirit and with the mind. The mind is very important. The psalmist says this in Psalm 100 and verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. The emphasis on joy in our service to the Lord. This has come to me afresh recently. And I have been asking the Lord to keep me in the joy of the Lord in serving Him. There are many references in Scripture and I'm not going into all of that. The place of joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When you lose the joy, then it saps your strength. We do not have creative energy anymore to serve the Lord. How to produce sermons every Sunday? Or how to produce articles every month for a magazine? And if you are in radio ministry, how to be constantly preaching through the radio? We need supernatural extra strength, creative energy. And the Lord helps us. And part of the secret is the joy. When there is joy, there is strength, there is creativity. When joy goes, then it becomes a grind. It becomes a real drudgery. And I know that all of us gathered here are in full-time Christian service in one way or another. And it's good to ask ourselves the question, is the joy of the Lord in my heart, in my life, in my service? It can very easily dry up. And we may not even miss it. We may still be going on, grinding away, without the joy. You know, one of the sad things in Christian ministry is this. Somewhere, sometime long ago, we have received an impact. And on the momentum of that, we keep going. In India, sometimes on our railroads, on our railway line, we see a railway carriage moving along. There's no engine to push it, there's no engine to pull it. And it keeps moving. It has been given a push somewhere, and it keeps going on the track. There are some who are in the service of the Lord like that. There is no spirit, no joy, no God-given drive or initiative, but then we just keep going because we have always kept going. To serve the Lord with joy, in joy. And the mind is very important. I do not know about you, but I've had this experience sometimes and I have guarded against it. I begin the day very bright and with a lot of hope, get out of my bed, and then as I keep shaving or getting ready for the day, in some activity in which my mind is not involved, then my mind goes on its own trip. And there are other thoughts that come in. Something someone said the previous day, or a letter that came, or a difficult situation that I was going to face. And very soon the mind gets entangled in these things. And it gets into bondage. And the joy disappears. And the sun that had risen earlier now seems to be going behind the clouds. And I begin the day dull, dreary, and without any joy. What had happened? I have let my mind slip out of my control into all sorts of blind alleys, and I'm not in the joy. And how important it is that we have the right attitude and that we see that the mind is kept under the right control, the control of our Lord, even as we serve Him. Because the mind is very important. And the secret of joy is in the mind, in our attitudes. And I want to share with you thoughts this morning about three different kinds of mind that we read about here in Scripture. One is from an actual incident, and the other two are from parables. But all these three persons reflect the kind of mind that is devoid of joy in service. The first one, we turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. This is a narrative. An incident. One among two sisters, the older sister. We read in Luke 10, verse 38 onwards, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha was serving, but there was no joy. And look at her mind. Our Lord Himself said, you are worried and upset about many things. A mind that is worried, a mind that is upset about many things. And then in verse 40 we read, she was distracted, a distracted mind, a mind that was distracted. Now, sometimes our mind gets into this kind of a condition. And then we are not able to function at our best. We will still be busy. Martha was very busy doing many things. But yet, she did not have all that energy and all that joy which she should have because her mind had become worried, upset, and distracted. How did this happen? We note here in verse 40, she was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Preparations that had to be made. Food that had to be prepared. Arrangements that had to be made. Things that had to be properly planned. Now, who asked her to do this? Our Lord Jesus did not send the menu ahead of him. Some preachers may, but not he. So who prepared, planned this whole program? Whose agenda was it? It was Martha's agenda. She had planned it. Self-made agendas can always bring tension and stress and unnecessary burdens. She had thought through the whole thing. She was serving, certainly. She wasn't doing anything wrong. She was serving. She was trying to serve the Lord. She was trying to please Him, but she had set her own agenda as to how she was going to do it. There are two kinds of men and women in this world. The one, those who are driven. And the others, those who are led. The driven ones, they are driven by so many things. What do others think of me? Others should appreciate me. Others should applaud me. I should be in the good books of others. That can become a terrible bondage to a minister, to a pastor. To be constantly out trying to get the appreciation and the applause of people. To try and find out all the time what others are thinking of him or her. And that can put us in bondage. Or sometimes the drive to fulfill the standards that we set up for ourselves. Among us there are those who may be called perfectionists. And we set up our own standards. And we think we must measure up to this or measure up to that. That can become a bondage. The drive to attain, the drive to accomplish, either meet the standards of others or meet our own standards. And sometimes the drive to accumulate. All of these are drives that can control us unconsciously. A young minister sets for himself goals because he had seen someone else do that. And then he gets into bondage. And he loses his joy. Gets into stress. No one can be blamed for that. You can't blame the work. You can't blame the Lord. You have to blame yourself. Because you have got into that kind of a bondage. An agenda that is set up by ourselves. What is Christian service? It is not doing my own thing for Jesus Christ. Christian service is doing what He wants me to do for Him. And when we forget this, when we forget to wait on Him and find out what He wants us to do, then we begin to serve too many masters and we get into bondage. There is so much to do. Certainly there is. One man said in a missions conference, giving a lot of statistics, talking about great needs, he said, every Christian must do 21 times more than what he is doing now. What would happen when you do that? You will end up in an asylum. That's not the answer. The needs are great. But it doesn't mean I have to do everything that needs to be done. All that I am responsible for is just to do what the Lord wants me to do. Simplify your life around Jesus Christ. I received a prayer letter from a missionary who had gone on furlough with the possibility of staying on in his home country, a dear man of God, a friend. And I was impressed with that prayer letter because he said in that prayer letter that he was going to simplify his life. And then he told us in that letter how he was going to simplify. He said, all that would matter will be my relationship with my Lord and my relationship with others. God and others, fellow human beings. I'll simplify my life around these two important factors. All other things, my name, my fame, my reputation as a minister, my reputation as a preacher, as one who could give good expository sermons, the one to whom many people come to listen to the Word of God, all these things are secondary. They are not the main thing. They come and they go. The main thing is to do what God wants me to do. To simplify my life around Christ. Now, Martha did not know that. She was distracted, worried, upset, because she sat down and prepared her own agenda. how she was going to serve the Lord, how she was going to please the Lord, planning her own program. You know, sometimes we can become slaves to a management culture. Around the world, I find this as a danger for the Church of Jesus Christ. The church becoming a slave to management culture. Now, I'm not saying that we should not have management workshops and learn from management techniques and from the science of management. I'm not saying we should not work at efficiency. We should not set goals and evaluate our performances. I'm not saying we should not have proper time management. All these have their place. But still our Lord is Jesus Christ. And we please Him. We can get into all kinds of tension when we allow the management culture to control us. We do not set our agendas ourselves, guided by any other considerations. It is our Lord who gives us the program. The world does not set the agenda for the church. The head, Jesus Christ, sets the agenda for the church and for us as the ministers of the church. So what was our Lord doing? Now, one thing good that Martha did, when she was worried and upset and under tension, what did she do? There are many things that we can do. We can make life difficult for everybody around us. You know, once you get on the wrong track, then immediately your mind is affected, your attitude is affected. That's what happened to Martha. Please look at verse 40. She asked Jesus, Lord, don't you care? Her attitude about Him was affected. She thought Jesus did not care. Then she said, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Her attitude about her sister was affected. And that's what happens when there is no joy, when the mind comes under stress, when we are under tension. It immediately affects our attitude to others, our attitude to Jesus. She thought that Mary did not care. Was Mary wrong? We are not told here that Mary was wrong. If she was wrong, Jesus would have corrected her. He would not have allowed Mary with a wrong attitude. And if she had been lazy, avoiding work, Jesus would not have let that go. Our Lord did not correct her. So that shows Martha was wrong, not Mary. Martha's evaluation of Mary was wrong. Martha's attitude about Mary was wrong. Do you know that our relationships can go wrong? We can have the wrong evaluation of people, and our understanding of people can go wrong. We can misunderstand them, their actions, their words, and their attitudes to us when we are under tension. I wonder if we have come with such tensions and stress to this conference, to this assembly. My brother, my sister, you can't go very far in Christian ministry when you have lost your joy and when you're full of criticism and bitterness and unkindness. It's not because others are wrong, but because you are wrong in your mind. Your attitude to others, your evaluation of others is totally wrong. Because you have set your own agenda and your own program and you have tried to run on your own steam. So everything is going wrong. Somewhere you have to stop, and maybe the Lord brought you to this conference just for that, to make you stop on the track and take stock of your own attitude. She said Mary had left her, and she said the Lord did not care. How wrong she was. But one good thing, she brought all that to Jesus. She could have stayed in that kitchen and made such a noise there, rattling the pots and pans around. Now that's one way people handle their tensions. You know they are under tension because of the noise they make. Or she could have come into that living room like a whirlwind and exploded. She did not do that. She came to Jesus and poured it all to Him. And that's what we have to do in these days. Pour it all out to Him. Your hurts, your bruises, your tension, your stress, open it up to Him. And what did Jesus do? Martha, Martha, you're worried and upset about many things. The trouble with you is you've taken on things on yourself which you need not take on. I never asked you to do that. You have taken them on yourself. Only one thing is needed. Simplify your life around me. That's what Jesus was saying to her. Martha learned her lesson. Because in John 12, you read Martha serving. She was doing the same thing that she was doing before. She never said, now I'm not the one for housework because I get into tension, so I'll seek some other job. Changing job is not the answer. Changing your attitude is the answer with the help of Jesus. And so she did the same job in that same house. She was serving, but now no stress. She was not distracted. She served. Lazarus was there. Mary, as usual, was at the feet of Jesus. But everything was going on in harmony. Then we turn to another mind. There is not only the distracted mind, there is also the depressed mind. We turn to Luke 15, the parable of the two sons. There are 21 verses here, and 7 of them are given to the elder son. As someone has said, the prodigal brother of the prodigal son, the elder son, beginning from verse 25. Now this is a parable, the other was a narrative. Look at his mind. The older son was in the field, verse 25, serving, faithfully serving. Notice all of these of whom we are looking at this morning, Martha and also this older brother, the older sister and the older brother, were great servants. They were all good in serving, hard workers. But the attitude was wrong. The mind was wrong. The older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother immediately became angry and refused to go in. He became angry and he would not cooperate. He was sulking, withdrawing. His father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you. The word that is used here is slaving. Service had become slavery, drudgery to him. I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. So he had his eye on what he could get out of this service. And he says, you never gave me even a young goat. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Refused to call him his brother and said, your son. So here he was in the service, working hard, but there was just that one incident that was enough to bring out the wrong attitudes from him, the wrong reactions from him, negative emotions. He was angry. He go in, he was immersed in self-pity. He said, you didn't give me what I deserve. It's unjust. I didn't get what I should get. You know, all of these feelings of self-pity, and certainly he was a very depressed man. Sometimes it's possible to be in the service of the Lord and have complaints against so many people and against so many situations and be in self-pity and in depression. How can you serve the Lord? You don't have creative energy, you don't have strength, and it's no wonder preaching has become a struggle and a burden, and meeting people has become a burden. It's possible sometimes that right in our service we can get into this kind of a situation, a depressed situation. And look at the father's answer in verse 31. My son, the father said. The word son is in the Greek diminutive. It really means my child. A very tender way of addressing him. My child. Isn't it marvelous that our Lord sees us when we sit there sulking in self-pity, angry, and he says, my child, the way he treated Jonah, my child. The father said, You are always with me. And everything I have is yours. You have forgotten two things. That's your mind has gone wrong. One, you have forgotten the personal relationship you have with me. You are always with me. Keep your attention on your relationship with me, not on the rewards of service, on the results of service, but on what you are to me and what I am to you. And then everything I have is yours, not only on the relationship, but also on the resources. Keep your mind on the relationship you have with me and all the resources you have in me. Now, according to the Jewish custom, as we read from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 21, a father must divide his possessions among his sons. And if there were two sons, the older one will get double share, two times. And the younger one will get one share. So the younger one has got his share, one third of the property and possessions, and he had spent it all. The rest that was left, two thirds, all of that belonged to this man. He had forgotten that. Somehow he had got into this frame of mind that he had forgotten what was true and what was real. You know, that is possible. Sometimes when we keep our eyes on wrong things and take our eyes away from our Lord and from our relationship to Him, we forget or we do not realize what is really ours in Christ and what our Lord has promised to us. And we think that we are undergoing suffering and persecution and martyrdom when we don't really find out and discover and keep in mind what we have in Christ. Now that's what happened to him. And the father was reminding him of that. Have you forgotten that you're always with me and all that I have is yours, everything that is left here is yours? He had already spent his. This son did not know that. And that is why his mind was under depression. Brothers and sisters, the one thing that matters is our personal relationship to God. It is not our great accomplishments and achievements, the programs and projects in which we are involved, and the great things we are doing for Jesus. It is our personal relationship to Him. And when you get away from that, from putting that at the center, then again our attitudes go wrong. Our attitude to others goes wrong. When we also do not realize the resources that we have in our Lord, all that He has promised to us, that is the secret of joy, is it not? You look at what others are doing to you or hear what others are saying to you. This morning I was reading from the book of Ecclesiastes, and there is a warning there. Don't be too curious to find out what your servants are saying about you. Or if you are working in an office, what the office staff are talking about you, if you happen to be the leader. You'll soon get depressed. To go around to try to find out what people say about you and your ministry is one way of getting depressed. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And keep your eyes on the resources you have in Christ. That is a source of joy. It's not the results of my work. If I look at the results and if I say, what have I accomplished after all these years of being in this church? On the other hand, if you say, God brought me here and I've tried to please Him and I'll try to please Him. Continuously, I'll keep my eyes on Him and I'll keep my eyes on His resources. Then you'll have the joy, you'll have the encouragement. I'm not saying we should be satisfied with mediocrity or barrenness. We have to work for results. But results are not everything. They do not control us. The Lord controls us. Then the third, again a parable, we find it in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25, beginning from verse 24. Matthew 25:24. The dissatisfied mind. We have seen the distracted mind, the depressed mind, now the dissatisfied mind. The man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, what was wrong with this man? There were 3 of them. One had 5 talents, another 2. The third one received 1 talent. There was nothing wrong in that. The master was not unfair or unjust. There are inequalities of life which we must accept. Some are tall, some are short. So the short man should not blame God for making him short. And the tall man should not be proud that he is tall. That is a fact of life. Some trees are tall, like the coconut tree, and it bears fruit, and the mango tree sometimes may be very short, as it is in India often, and it bears abundant fruit. There are inequalities of life. One had 5, another had 2, the third had 1. The man with the 2 talents had no complaint. He did not compare himself with the man with the 5 talents and say, he has 5, I have only 2, the difference was 3. But this man who had 1 talent, and the difference was only 1 between him and the man who had 2 talents, he was the one who was complaining. The master was not unfair, because in his reward, he had equal rewards for all of them. The words he said were the same. To the man with the 5 talents he said, verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now please look at verse 23. The same words spoken to the man with the 2 talents. The reward was the same. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. So in reward there was no difference. It is not how much you receive, it is what you do with what you receive. It is not how much you have, but what you do with what you have. Or if I put it in other words, it is not what you do not have, but it is what you do with what you have. Some people spend their whole time looking at what they do not have. And I've seen it among ministers. I don't know about the Baptist Union of Queensland, but I know of some other ministers. I don't have education. I don't have the background. I don't have the upbringing. I don't have talents. I don't have gifts. I don't have abilities. Constantly dwelling on what you do not have and wishing that you had what others had. That can be a waste of time. It can be a fruitless exercise. On the other hand, if we accept what we have and remember it is not what we do not have, but what we do with what we have, we can bring great joy to the master. And there can be joy in our mind. The person who is not satisfied with what he or she has received from God in life can never have joy. And they can never serve the Lord with a joyful mind. That was a problem with this man with the 1 talent. And then he said, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. He criticized the master's character. He called him a hard man. The others did not do that. To him, the master seemed to be a hard man because his mind was wrong, his attitude was wrong. Then he criticized the master's method, his way of handling people. When you are not satisfied with someone or his methods, and then you get into bitterness, you get into all sorts of problems. On the other hand, that dissatisfaction may be because we have not accepted our own role, our own place, and our own gifts. In the body of Christ, Every member has a function. And for that function, gifts are given. Spiritual gifts are not a spiritual luxury. Spiritual gifts are not given to the spiritually elite. They are given to the members of the body. And the only thing is, we must discover and recognize our gifts. If you are too busy looking at someone else's gifts and complaining that we do not have what others have, we may not discover our own gifts. To discover our own gifts with the help of the Holy Spirit and with the help of the other members of the body of Christ and then put them to use, that is the secret of serving the Lord in joy. And when we don't do that, then we become critical of others' methods, of others' hardness or unreasonableness. And that's what happened to him. He criticized his master as being unreasonable and his master as indulging in unfair methods. And that was not right. His mind was wrong. The master was right. And when his mind was wrong, he could not use even that one talent he had and wasted it. That's what will happen. If we are not accepting what we have, what God has given to us, we'll be wasting time and wasting our life. Warren Wiersbe is a great Bible teacher. I'm very closely linked with Back to the Bible. I do their broadcasts in Tamil and also their missions broadcast in English. And I know Dr. Wiersbe personally. Now, Warren Wiersbe, in his early days of ministry, met Tory Johnson, another great man of God whom the Lord has used. And Tory Johnson told Warren Wiersbe, find out the one thing which you do which God blesses and give yourself to the doing of it. That is the secret of satisfaction and joy. We want to do too many things and want to be master of too many things and then fail in everything and become dissatisfied and frustrated in service. What is the one thing you do which God blesses? Give yourself to the doing of it. And you know, in this world, the majority of the people are one talent people. And they can use that one talent profitably if they accept what they have and give themselves to the using of it. It's not what you do not have, but what you do with what you have. Brothers and sisters, let us serve the Lord with gladness, with joy. You will be amazed how much the Lord is doing through you and how much you are able to do with His strength when you serve Him with joy.